This week's episode of Roboism is sponsored by Jackbox Games. Get five hilarious party games in the Jackbox Party Pack from the creators of You Don't Know Jack. Now on Xbox One, PS3, PS4, Steam, and more. Go to jackboxgames.com for more info.
Thanks again to the Chicago Podcast Co-op for hooking up our sponsorships. You can learn more at chicagopodcastcoop.com. I'm Alex Cox.
And I'm Savannah Million.
And this is Roboism. I always say I'm really excited to talk about things, which I feel is a little bit annoying and redundant, but I'm really, 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 really excited to talk about Magic Mike XXL.
So am I. I feel like we need to spend a second to justify why we're talking about Magic Mike XXL on a robot podcast.
Because the description of our show is a podcast about robots and feminism, but mostly robots. It's mostly robots, not all robots. Yeah.
So I was describing it as the best feminist film I'd ever seen or whatever. And then I caught myself and qualified it with the most feminist film that I've ever seen that is still about a white dude, right? Like it's still focused on a cast of dudes, but it's still which is so surprising that it is as feminist as it is. But
critics are saying it's completely heteronormative, but that is true. That's what makes its outright feminism so shocking is that it's about a bunch of straight male strippers around a bunch of straight women, and yet it takes place in the real, I don't know. Would you say it takes place in the real world? Because it felt like it took place in my ideal world. I was watching this film thinking, okay, this is just another universe in which everyone is
I don't know. It's a fantasy world, but it feels real. They did it. I really love the first one did this same thing too. The dialogue is very flawed in such a good way. They'll mess up lines and just keep them or something, and you can't tell whether or not it's on purpose. That part of it feels very real, but the world itself is this fantasy where there's not really any conflicts and it's just all about hanging out.
Yeah, when I was watching it, I too was this is a fantasy, but more in that there are a bunch of fat women, there are a bunch of black women, there are a bunch of just every type of, okay, all admittedly probably straight, but just women you see on the street being fondled by a bunch of strippers. I just want a world in which these women are in other films and show up on other screens, not just on,
right,
a stripper tour. And oh god, it's just so good. All right, should we sound the spoiler horn and talk about specific things we like? There's really no spoilers.
I was gonna say, you can say that we're gonna say spoilers, but the movie has no plot.
There are character developments. It's a character piece.
It's a character movie. The biggest spoiler for me was that I didn't know the cast before going into the movie.
And neither did I.
My favorite part, I melted when Donald Glover showed up. Because I love him. And I love him so much more after the movie, too. He's by far my favorite. But you knew that they were going to announce some secret cast member, and then it's him at the top of the stairs, and I died. So
yeah, I was wait, Childish Gambino, what, wait, whoa, oh, hello. Then he's talking to do they just call him Big Dick? Is that his name, his
Joe
stripper name?
Stripper's name. Yeah, they never call him anything else. Joe Manganiello. Big Dick Richie.
Yep, Big Dick Richie. Yeah. I don't know if he's talking to him or a white collar guy whose name in the film I also forget. The one who meditates and is...
That's Matt Bomer.
And here's another thing. They're all very different, and they all tease each other for doing things that they think are stupid, but there are so many places where they could be no homo, bro.
But they don't.
It never happens.
Well, they've all seen each other pretty naked.
Yeah, so. But there's also very little bad queer baiting. Like, right. There are guys who, like, can share a tiny hotel room, and then they talk about their feelings in not a cliche way. Like, those are real life problems. Like, I don't know if I can sustain my business. And it's not like, oh man, they're naked on the bed together. Not that that would be bad. Like, worse things have happened in movies. But I don't know. It was really surprising and nice.
No, I loved that about this movie. It's like all of these guys that are all just, like, emotionally open, and none of them ever make it weird or like
yeah. And I guess if you've it makes sense if you've seen the first one. Like, they really went the first Magic Mike is really all about this little douchey kid who comes in and, like, ruins all of their vibes because they have a somewhat, like, successful show going, and then he brings in a bunch of drugs and it's all but right. This is just all about them going on one last what is it,
it's a last ride movie, right?
Isn't yeah the it's genre? Like the yeah exactly. And it's a stripper convention, which I didn't know existed,
the male stripper convention in Myrtle Beach, Florida.
Yeah.
Oh my god, so one of my other favorite moments is or, like, plot points, I guess, is how they explain why Matthew McConaughey and the main character from the previous movie, the kid, are not in the movie, which is that they went to Europe. What? That's it. They went to Europe. They ditched everybody and went to Europe together. Good. Awesome.
I was honestly fine with that because I did not want... I thought Matthew McConaughey was amazing in the last movie, actually, but... I did not want them to spend any time on them. I did not want them to have any emotions towards them. And then they're like, all right, nope, let's just move on and be present with one another.
Yeah.
So, okay. So this, I felt like it kind of started off a little bit slow. Like, yes, there's all these men sharing their feelings and they, like, go to a beach party. But one of the first scenes is that they're in this drag club, mm-hmm. and they get up and dance, and there is no mocking. There is just, it is just, they are so sincere and they want to be the best drag queen. And I forget who wins. I think it's somebody else, actually, but
you? It's just like they all dance and then the scene ends and they're all just hanging out and partying.
Yeah, it's just so good. And then they're all, and then the conversations they have with I forget the main drag queen's name, but she's just amazing. And then they share, like, what their names would be, but again, not mocking, like, the profession. It's like
Tori, yes. Snatch.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Such a good name.
Sorry.
And it's like, yeah, we do similar lines of work but they're different, and it's so so good.
It's so good. It's like, what if the world existed without, like, shame?
Yeah, basically. I think my favorite scene, and I, well, so you loved when Mr. Childish Gambino mm-hmm. appeared, but just going into that house and, like,
oh god,
all of those white boys getting the just being put in their place, and then Channing Tatum goes up to Rome, Jaden Smith, Jada Smith, who is this? I was like, wait, what? What's happening? What's going on? Who's this amazing badass? Like, they call her an MC.
She's a entrepreneur.
Yeah, she is a very successful entrepreneur.
Right, like she owns this house that is like a subscription-based strip club, right?
Yeah, and it looks amazing. It's insane, but very clean and classy. And there are there are a ton of women there, and
Jada Smith throughout this entire movie only refers to women as queens. No one contests her on this. This is an accepted fact. All women are queens and they need to be worshipped by men. That is just like her life philosophy, and that's what it is. It's great.
It's so great. And in casual conversation too, not just in like, not just when she's performing, just saying like, oh yeah, these queens, you need to get them to worship you. And I'm like,
yeah,
oh, you're just, yep, you think all women are queens, and you're right. Good for you.
Oh, so great.
The other like scene that just runs through my head. It's just amazing. Like, they walk into this house because they were invited. I don't know how it happened. It's a road trip
so
movie.
They don't, yeah, they never explain, like, they give you just the slightest amount of information to explain why they would be in one particular situation. So it's like, oh, we want them to be at a drag club, right? So it's mm-hmm. like, oh, it's a stop on the road trip. And they end up at this house full of, like, old Southern ladies because one of them is the mom of, like, a daughter that one of the guys hooked up with, which they tell you very briefly. It's like you have like a 2 second scene where he's like, yeah, I got her number and we can stay at her house one night, and it's like a thing that he says while they're at the beach, which is great. It's like, here's the absolute minimum reason we can give you to put all of these people in a room together, and they have this whole great scene with like old women.
They're
wonderful.
It blew my mind, and it was also very upsetting because I was like, yep, I can see that, like, this would be the adult women in my family, like if like 10 burly men came in and all of their friends were like, they're like, oh, get the nice wine. And yes, they have all of these like innuendos and stuff like that, but also they do open up and have really revealing and earnest conversation.
And then the whole relationship too with Andy McDowell and Joe Manganiello is like really great. It's just their whole dynamic.
I really like they call sex like bangy. They're like, did you bangy? Like that, like their puppy is really excited about it. And it, but they say it in a way that's like not degrading to the women at all. Like, it's not a conquest. It's like something you achieved. I was so happy for him.
Yeah,
it's like
and for her. It's
yeah,
like great for both of them.
I can't remember a time where I was so happy that a guy got laid in a movie, and also a guy with a huge dick. You feel sympathy. Or a guy with a giant dick who can't get laid because women are scared of how big his dick
is. And because he's so earnest and sweet. And also, he has a great scene in the gas station, a dance scene, where they're like really high on ecstasy, I think. And
no, it's Molly.
That's Molly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
God, I've never seen such a wholesome drug scene where a man... does drugs, goes into a gas station convenience store, and then does a strip routine in front of a woman. I was
solely
super
to make her smile.
Yeah, I was worried about that.
Yeah.
But then it was clearly like, oh, she's smiling because she is laughing at him. And it wasn't like, oh,
like he is creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't, it was like, you can make her smile because you're a cool and nice guy and she's probably a good person. And like, I feel like it sounds like we're trying to step around this, but I don't know. Like, you know, when you watch something and you get that feeling like, oh, they want her to smile, or like,
right. It's, but it's not creepy at all.
No, there. I guess I never realized how often I just cringe during movies,
yeah.
Especially like any type of romance movie or any, like, whenever there's a relationship in any movie. But I did not cringe once during that movie. I was just like, I don't know.
Just like thrilled the whole time.
Yeah. It was a little alarming. Like, I so I watched it with my fiance, my super gay lady fiance, and we just kept like throwing up our arms being, what? And it was just, yeah, we were questioning a lot of things that night. Anyway.
Oh no.
But like, why is that bad?
No.
That is lovely. Well, oh, but here, okay, so here's the thing. For everybody being like, oh, there's no queer people. Rome and Elizabeth Banks totally kiss, or oh no, they don't kiss. I wanted them to kiss.
They like admit that they were in a relationship in the past, right, or something. It's, or they allude to it.
That's how they get on stage, is because they definitely had a relationship, and then they became my OTP of the film. but they don't. Not even the dudes are like, Oh man, lesbians. Like, it's
right.
Just like, oh yes, we have an in. It's not like, it's like, oh, of course Rome has taken a lady lover at some point. Like, she's Rome.
Yeah.
Everyone's a queen. It's great.
Everything is just accepted as it is. There's no, yeah, there's no questions, no shaming, no like punching down humor. It's all just good.
You're right. I think that's what it is. There were no jokes that mm-hmm. punched down in this film. Not one. Which, is, like, even when the dudes are making fun of each other, it's, like, it's all on equal footing. Like, they say, like, oh, you're not being present, and they throw their cell phones out the window of a bus because they're not talking to each other enough.
I was so mad when he did that, though. I was like, are you serious? I would be pissed.
They're just...
But I really hate that whole narrative of, like, having your phone makes you not present. That's, like, so Luddite, whatever.
But
like,
that's the thing. Ugh. It's
this is what my one beef with the movie, I guess. I didn't realize that until just now. Shut up, Joe Manganiello or whoever.
We don't like that the little robots were thrown out the window.
No. Yeah,
that was bad. This was that's when they punched down.
They punched down cell phones and are not happy about it.
Yeah. Oh, man. The finale, did you have a favorite strip scene?
Yes, the mirror scene is obviously
really
so much. Well, yeah, it's the big finale. What did, was that not your favorite?
Well, it was my favorite, like, in terms of physicality, and like I was like, wow, that's really impressive.
I mean, one of the first things I did after watching the movie, though, admittedly, was googling the Donald Glover cover of that Girl I Want to Marry You song or whatever.
Yeah, that was my favorite, when Big Dick does the
the wedding,
because he does a woman's fantasy, but in a way that's real. Like, oh my god, this beautiful wedding with all of the friends and all of the people, all these women who are happy for you, cheering for you, no resentment, everything's great. And then you have this, like, giant sex swing or whatever. And it's like, that's what you really want.
Which she's in the whole time. Like, they have the whole mirror dance, which is long. And then they, like, cut back. And it's like, oh, that girl's still in that swing. Which, of course, because how would you get out of that?
Right? It's just this big, giant, like, strip orgy.
It's so good.
Yeah,
that was good. I guess the one I was, like, least into probably was Matt Bomer's, like, Disney song situation thing with his, like, fedora. I'm like, meh.
What was it, just the fedora?
It's the whole, I don't know, that's, like, the opposite of my fantasy, right? It was just the whole thing that he's, like, fulfilling there is, like, not me personally.
But that's the thing. This is for everybody.
It is for everybody. There's something for everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, God. Actually, no, I take it back. My least favorite one is when the candy shop guy, God, that's my nightmare. Like, somebody putting, like, syrup on me or something. Yeah. Like, oh, God, their dresses are just ruined. I having anxiety watching that, being like, oh, they're going to be, like, sticky the whole night. Ew.
But see, I'm sure that woman was very happy to be sticky and loved all of the metaphors involved with the candy.
I'm sure, yes, that's true. The metaphor, A-plus metaphor, not a fan of, like, Hershey's all over me.
Yeah, no.
That's it. That's your whole night, you know?
Like, oh, I guess we're done here. My final thoughts are just, you had better insights than I. Because you're right. This movie never punches down. And I want this, the biggest fantasy in this film for me is I saw women in this film that I would never see, even in, like, quote-unquote chick flicks that are, again, quote-unquote made for women. And, yeah. I don't know.
Also, big improvement over the first movie, where they show one overweight woman in a dance sequence and they, like, fat shame her. And I was like, great.
Yeah. And I was like, awesome. She just gave you money. Yeah. What, like, the fuck?
Yeah. And it was, like, it was a joke. Like, he wasn't mean to her or anything, but the joke was that he, like, hurt his back lifting her up. So it's still, like, come on. It was just stupid. Like, that didn't need to be in there. That wasn't that funny. But,
well, they also had Matthew McConaughey and the drug addict kid. So, you know, there was a lot of negative energy. And there was just all positive energy around here. Because, you know.
Yeah.
They
have
a queen in their midst.
It's true. But, yeah. So that was a nice improvement. That, like, not only was there no shaming, it was, like, there were, like, a lot of different, of, like, diverse body types in the cast. It was great.
It was shocking. Yeah. And I hate that it was shocking, but it was in the best way.
Yeah. Magic Mike XXL shouldn't be as high above all of other films as it is. Like, it's sad because it's so good.
I shouldn't hold it up with Mad Max as one of the best portrayals of women. Like, you know what I mean?
I know. Isn't that crazy?
But, yeah.
Mad Max, also about a white dude. I don't know. Like, maybe in the future we can get some feminist movies that are about women.
Yeah. It took me a second to comprehend what you were saying. And you're so right. Oh,
I have
I'm
high
upset.
Hopes.
Yeah. Maybe
I'm
one
optimistic.
Day. One day. Thanks again to our sponsor, Jackbox.
Yes, thank you.
We really love the Jackbox Party Pack, which includes Fibbage, Quiplash, and Drawful, and the whole bunch of other games that are really, really fun, and they're available on, like, every gaming platform that exists.
Yeah, Quiplash in particular is awesome. If you're ever in a group and you're trying to figure out an activity that can engage everyone and make you all laugh, like, pretty much any one of those games. We'll do that.
It's a great game for introverts too, and it's not I don't know, it's a great communal game that, like, many different personality types can play and enjoy.
So. Yeah, definitely.
And also thanks to the Chicago Podcast Co-op, which is now, well, okay, so we were always on iTunes, but now we're all gathered together in this nice little page on iTunes.
It's
and
so
it's really
real.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
We have a real show.
A real,
wow.
So, yeah.
But you should listen to all of the awesome shows, especially the Koch Brothers Mystery Show. And the Koch Brothers are actually going on tour. So we'll put that in show notes.
Yay.
This was fun.
This was fun. I give Magic Mike a 10 out of 10 for feminism and a 2 out of 10 for robots, but
I give Rome a 10 out of 10 for being a queen and acknowledging queens, and, you know, maybe if a 3 out of 10 for robots, because at least they recognize that they shouldn't have thrown the phones out a window, so
I'm
you know.
Sticking to my 2 out of 10, but I support
right.
your opinion.
All right.
I support the right for you to have a different opinion.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. I'm Alex Cox.
And I'm Savannah Million.
This has been
This has been Rosabism.
This has been Roboism.
Thank you for listening.
I love Big Dick. I Bella. Fucked Bella. Yeah. Like, I was like, woo! Someone help me, someone save me. I learned something I should have never known. I'm not human, I'm not breathing. I need someone, someone to show me love.
Yeah. I live so free my life. I have places to go, people to see. I should be optimistic. I have no wires inside.